Attention listeners, mark your calendars for Colorado Gives Day on December 10th. Support AfterSight and give to the causes you care about. Go to coloradogivesday.org/organizations/AfterSight between now and December 10th to make your donation.
Welcome to Blind Level Tech. I'm Jonathan Price.
I'm Evan Starnes.
And together, we're bringing you news, tech, and information about blind technologies.
Being blind doesn't mean you have to stop living.
We're going to show you just how possible it is to live the life you want.
And that we are, of course. Welcome to another episode of Blind Level Tech. I am your host, Evan Starnes. That was kind of a weird intro, but we're going to roll with it because I'm Evan Starnes, and I'm joined by my co-host, Kelvin Crosby.
Hey, it's so good to see you, even though I can't see you. It's another beautiful day in the neighborhood, Evan. How you doing, man?
Dude, I'm doing pretty good. Minus, like, today has, of course, kind of like last episode, been littered with technical challenges left and right, particularly Outlook, but I'm not going to get into that. But no, I'm doing pretty good. But man, how are you doing, Kelvin?
I'm living beyond my challenges. That's the best way I can put it. You take today and you take the first step forward and you see, oh, wow, I'm overcoming my challenges. So that's how I'm doing today.
That's and a good way to
I'm
put it.
Super excited about today.
Oh, me too.
Episode. I mean, I've been seeing TikToks and YouTube videos. I'm like, wow, this is a big deal for what today's topic is in regards to the visually impaired getting access to the iPhone 18
update. Or to iOS 18.
So absolutely. I'm excited. But before we get there, we got to do one more thing before that.
Yeah.
And that is the tech piece of the day.
Yeah. And we got a jingle for that now, too. Surprise, surprise.
Woohoo!
Well, Kelvin, you're kind of leading it here. So I think I should throw you, like the mean host I am, into the hot seat. So what's your tech piece of the week, Kelvin?
Yeah, so my tech piece is a audio input output splitter that you plug into your headphone jack on your. So if you have your iPhone, you take your headphone, your iPhone adapter that you plug into your iPhone, and then you split the audio and the input and output of the audio. So you have a Y cable. So this way you plug your headphones into the cable to the headphone part, and then you plug your microphone into the microphone part.
That's a thing.
I tell you, this was amazing yesterday because I was on my way to court to have to go deal with some stuff, and I needed to have a meeting, and I could have really good audio by plugging my lab mic into my iPhone and then just plugging my nice big Bose headphones on, and I tell you, I sounded like a million bucks. So that's my tech piece. So this is called a Y headphone splitter. So it splits the TRR, and then you have and then it goes into a TRRS cable. And so that's how you split the two. So you get the microphone foot separate and the headphone separate.
Yep. Tip ring ring and tip ring ring sleeve for those curious about that. That's really cool. I had no idea they made those. It's really handy, especially in your case. Yeah, if you're using a really nice lav mic and some, you know, wired headphones, it kind of just brings me back to the old days of like laptop computers when they used to have a separate microphone input and a headphone jack. Because now everything seems to have gone to this like I call it the multi jack. It's like your headphone and microphone plug into the same jack. And, you know, you see that a lot with headphones and earbuds, and it sounds awesome to be able to actually like separate the two, especially because I have used like lavalier mics in the past with my phone. And the annoyance with that is if I want to be, I can't hear my phone's audio unless I use Bluetooth headphones, because that microphone is plugged into the headphone jack, thereby muting my phone speaker. So that's really cool that they make those.
Yeah. So what major, what you're looking for is a XY cable.
It splits your audio
input and audio output.
Audio input output XY cable. Sounds cool. I'm going to have to look at those. I'm pretty sure those are probably on like Amazon and yeah, mostly Amazon. I'm not sure what else, where else you'd go by, you'd go about getting a thing like that. Well, my tech piece of the week is pretty pertinent to what we're going to be discussing today, and that would be my Apple Watch Ultra, which has been a tech piece before, but they have released a lot of amazing new little changes and improvements with Apple Watch OS 11 that has just made this thing even more enjoyable and customizable to be able to use. So, I mean, I wear this thing pretty much every day. It's I went with the Ultra because it's got like 3-day battery life from my experience, really good speakers, a siren, and it's kind of like the watch you'd get if you were an outdoorsy person, you know, going on hiking or hikes and going camping and kind of other things like that, which I am not, actually, very ironically, but I wanted something that was kind of rugged and that could withstand dirt and water and other, you know, just outdoor elements. You know, should I be in a position where I am, you know, staying outdoors for an extended period of time? Plus, it has cellular. So, yes, my tech piece is the Apple Watch Ultra 2. And today's topic is iOS 18, which just came out Monday as we're recording this. And boy,
there's a lot going on there.
Oh my gosh, there's a lot going on here. I've been messing around with both iOS and watchOS alike. I have not messed around with any of the new, with iPadOS 18, and I have yet to, this is the big one. I have yet to move my Macs to macOS Sequoia. So I'm not going to really talk on those much, as I don't have much expertise to share on that matter. But iOS 18 brings a lot of cool new improvements with VoiceOver, Braille screen input, and they also add some really useful new accessibility features on the side. So let's just kind of dive right in.
Before we go there, I gotta say there's one really non-accessibility tech that I saw, and I was like, you know, this is kind of fun. Mm-hmm. And that is the new ringtone update. I just thought, you know, I'm going to share that before we dive into the VoiceOver side. Because I thought, you know, it can be kind of fun. You just got to be careful where you have your phone on your body. But it, when you get your ringtone, it got your different sound. But it, the vibration on the phone vibrates to the ringtone beat. So you get the bum, 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 doo, 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 doo. You know, you can kind of get the vibration going, and it's all at the same time with the in line with the ringtone. So I thought, you know, that's a really, really cool new update. So,
well, I feel like that's been around for years though.
Well, the vibration part has always been around, but it matching the beat and being in sync with the beat has not.
Wait a minute, are you saying that? Because I remember with iOS 17, they added a whole bunch of new ringtones, and with those ringtones came a bunch of synchronized patterns that follow the beat of the ringtones. But are you saying, correct me if I'm wrong, did they make it now where that'll work with custom ringtones now?
From what I understand, yes.
I'm going to have to try that. So like, if I wanted to have like, oh man, I had like the old Top Gun theme slash the Danger Zone song as my ringtone at one point. So finally now I won't have to, you know, I won't have to tap out my own vibration pattern that I am hoping will sync up to that. You know, it'll just, the vibration pattern will follow any custom ringtones now, and it's not just specific to iOS ringtones.
I mean, I am taking this from TikTok, so Who knows what TikTok is telling the truth or not, but
I'm gonna have to play with that.
That's what they're saying.
Okay, I'm gonna have to play with that because I've got a bunch of custom ringtones. So in next week's episode, if I discover that that's a thing, I am definitely gonna talk about it because that's pretty cool. I've always liked that the synchronized vibration feature anyway. Just it kind of reminds me of like old Nokia phones. They had old Nokia phones. Mm-hmm. If you had them set to ring and vibrate, the vibrator would actually follow the little ringtone. It was pretty cool. So I don't know. I love sounds and haptics and definitely am kind of curious to see what, you know, they've done with specifically with custom ringtones. Now, I'd first like to kind of talk about some of the...
Yeah, let me help you out with that transition.
Okay. Okay. All right.
So let's dive into now the voiceover side now that I kind of interrupted the whole process. But Evan, so... if you're looking at the new update to the voiceover, what is like your number one takeaway of what you've seen so far?
Ooh, my number one takeaway of what I've seen has to be the improvements with Braille screen input. But what I'd like to do is kind of just go through, you know, some of the big changes that have been brought to VoiceOver and iOS 18, and not all of them though. And that's the thing. If you want to actually see all of the new improvements and changes in VoiceOver, you actually can go into settings and then go to accessibility and VoiceOver settings. And under that, there is a link titled What's New in VoiceOver. And if you tap that, you're going to see all of the new improvements with VoiceOver, Braille screen input, image recognition, all of that. But we're going to kind of highlight the big ones here, and in no particular order, of course. But the first kind of interesting change that I'm seeing with VoiceOver, and I've been playing with this, is if you've ever messed around with the personal voice feature on iOS, where you can basically clone your voice and make like a text-to-speech out of your own voice. You know, it was pretty interesting. It kind of made, at least when I tried it, it kind of made me sound very like depressed and very, it doesn't sound super natural, but it's my voice, you know, and it was recorded in like 25 minutes. But you can use that personal voice now with VoiceOver. So if you want to hear yourself reading your home screen or text messages or whatever it might be, you can do that now, and it's actually quite responsive. It's very responsive. I was impressed. And
message notification.
Calvin Crosby. Double tap to open. Double. Yeah. Right. It sounds.
I don't know.
Weird.
Honestly, that one.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
I mean.
It's weird.
I mean that one. I right? think of like. Message notification, or
double tap to open.
Or I mean, thinking about it as your loved one.
Well, oh hey, my gosh, honey. Yeah. If your loved one recorded your voice,
if you're hearing yourself repeat back to you like, "Hey, honey, how you doing?" and you're hearing, "Hey, honey, how you doing?"
That's just a little weird, man. Right?
I just. And it's like, you know, you have your pet names for your loved one, you know,
all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, like, hey, honey bee, hey, you're looking good.
Mm-mm-mm. But it's like red in your voice.
I think I'm gonna pass on that one.
Yeah, it's weird, but you know, if you want to mess with it, they actually did fix a lot of, at least from my observations, they did fix a lot of the pronunciation errors and stuff that were kind of present with the personal voice option before, when that was just kind of a feature for individuals who are unable to enunciate. But yeah. It seems pretty cool. And if anybody wants to hear like a demo of that, let me know. Let us know. feedback@aftersight.org or, you know, 720-712-8856. We'll make a BLT by demoing that feature because it's fairly interesting. And
one thing to say about that, there is a positive to it. It is basically a lifetime to be able to use your voice for other things like your loved ones. And so just even doing it, having your voice recorded, allows you to have access to your voice, even if you're
if you lose your voice, like if you have laryngitis, or if you actually, they specifically highlighted this, if you have a condition in which you are going to no longer be able to use your voice, it's a way to kind of preserve it. It's pretty cool. Now I'd like to actually transition to another another little feature that they've added, and that is in the rotor. They've kind of changed the language rotor. So it used to be you'd have a language rotor, and if you, let's say, you know, primarily used VoiceOver in English, but sometimes you need to switch to Spanish, you could go over to that rotor and switch to Spanish. But, you know.
Uno, dos, cuatro, cinco.
Tres.
Gracias.
Gracias.
That's about as far as I'm going.
That is fair. I mean, that's about the extent of my Spanish. But you can now finally add any voice of any language to the voice rotor. So let's say, for instance, you primarily like to use, well, in my case, I like to use Eloquence Read to navigate my phone and just perform tasks. But let's say, you know, you want to use, like, one of the American Siri voices to, you know, read articles or text. You just go over to the language rotor, and then you can swipe down and pick different voices that way. And so you can kind of add your favorite voices to that rotor, and it just makes it really easy to switch between them. So I personally really am happy they've kind of refined that.
So is it still the same technique? I've heard two mixed feelings on that one.
It's still the same technique.
Okay. So two fingers on the thing and swirl your fingers around.
Yep. The rotor still works pretty much the same. It hasn't, fortunately, they haven't introduced any, like, bugs with the rotor. So, no, it still works about the same. And another improvement audio-wise that they've made is they've added the ability to select how you want VoiceOver to duck other audio. So what that means is, let's say you're playing a song and VoiceOver starts speaking, it'll turn the volume of that music or background audio down while VoiceOver is speaking, and then once VoiceOver is done speaking, it fades it back up. Pretty basic feature. It's been in VoiceOver since its inception. But they've now made it so that you can have it actually always have the audio ducked. So this is kind of similar to NVDA's audio ducking on Windows. You can basically just have your audio always kind of quiet in the background while VoiceOver is present. And, you know, it's kind of cool.
It's about time it came out, honestly. Right. Because, honestly, when you're on a Zoom call, this is my biggest pet peeve. You're on a Zoom call, and the Zoom call is so loud, and then you're trying to turn up the volume to hear the screen reader, but you can't hear the screen reader to unmute the Zoom call. And then you're just like, this is absolutely ridiculous. And so I think this is, honestly, they should have had this many years ago.
Yeah, but I kind of wish that was like a customization, because, yeah, especially if you turn up the default audio ducking the way it's always been, you know, if you turn up your volume to be able to hear VoiceOver and it fades the Zoom call out, then once VoiceOver stops talking, it might turn your Zoom call or whatever up super loud and blast your ears out. So.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely pretty cool to see that they've kind of added that, and I'm anxious to kind of play around with it. Now another thing that they've added with VoiceOver is they've kind of refined the way that live recognition works, and they've actually made it so you can activate live recognition from the rotor, so you can add it as a rotor option, and then go over to your live recognition in the rotor, and I think swipe up, and that will start live recognition. Now, live recognition is actually the feature where you can recognize doors, people, text, and just things around you using your iPhone's cameras. And there is another way you can access live recognition without the rotor, and that is by simply doing a four-finger double tap. And then you can four-finger double tap again to turn it off.
Just make sure you're not copying. You could see that four finger double tap it can be a little bit of a challenge. So if you really want to make that more efficient, you might want to go into your settings and change the gesture to make it a little bit easier to get that to work. Yeah. Personally, four finger double tap is one of the hardest ones to get working right. Because, right, if you miss it, then
you might accidentally copy the last spoken text or turn your screen curtain on and off or
exactly like that. Because the triple tap for triple tap is for copy and double tap or triple tap
with three fingers is for screen curtain. But
and then four times is copy, right?
Yeah, it'll copy the last spoken text to the clipboard. Yep. And I've accidentally done that too when trying to activate live recognition. Because honestly, when it comes to gestures, yeah, four fingers is kind of a clunky gesture to be able to use. So you are able to change that too if you don't like that or if it just doesn't work for you.
So you can change it to like the two fingers swipe to the left or two fingers swipe to the right.
You could do that. Absolutely.
Those are available. Even three fingers swipe to the left or right is available as well.
Or you can make it a two-finger triple tap even.
Yep.
Absolutely.
So those are all options if you're struggling with the rotor to be able to make that more efficient.
Absolutely. Because the rotor, I've talked to other blind low vision voiceover user before. The rotor, honestly, you either like it or you hate it, from my observation. Now, last up here with voiceover before we kind of jump into Braille specific improvements, you've now got an interactive voiceover tutorial. And this is big for me, especially when it comes to, trying to teach somebody who has never used voiceover before, how to actually get started with it. And it's actually been a feature that it was actually kind of a strong point with Google's TalkBack for the longest time because, when you turn on TalkBack for the first time, you'd immediately be brought into the TalkBack tutorial and it would show you all the basic gestures and commands. And VoiceOver, the equivalent for VoiceOver for a while was an app called LookTel VoiceOver Tutorial, but that app has first of all, I don't know if it works on 64-bit phones, so it's kind of old and it hasn't really been updated with a lot of the new refinements in VoiceOver since like probably 2015. So now that they've added that, though, if you are just getting into VoiceOver and really want to learn how to use it, you can now access the VoiceOver tutorial by going to VoiceOver settings, and then there is an option for the VoiceOver tutorial. And we will do a BLT. Well, we actually have done a BLT byte leading up to this episode that actually demos that tutorial. So if you'd like to just hear a little snippet of what that sounds like, go check out that BLT byte. But I'm really glad they've added that. Now, do you think, Kelvin, I feel like that would make it just a lot less intimidating, especially for older individuals that might have just gotten an iPhone for the first time.
I would completely agree with you on that. I mean, when I used to teach iOS devices back in the day, that was one of the things that we would always do, learn how to turn the help on and turn it off, learn how to navigate it, how to feel the different techniques, different things like that. And there's nothing like actually getting the muscle memory down. Because that's one thing. Like, I can't remember. Like, if I need to do an activity on the phone, it's just muscle memory. Like, it's just part of my brain process. And so using that, and I think having it being updated and being current is such a big deal. Because obviously, like we've been talking about, the gestures keep changing or enhancing or doing different things, and knowing exactly what it's doing is huge.
And having it just interactive, because there was actually there has been a voiceover tutorial, an interactive voiceover tutorial for a long time now, but that was only really on macOS VoiceOver, and so I'm super glad to see that they've brought that to iOS. Now let's talk about the all of the new Braille improvements that have been added. And I'll first kind of take a look at the improvements that will benefit users that primarily like to use Braille displays. And they've added quite a few exciting little things here. The first being the ability to have separate input and output grades. And this is kind of cool. If you, let's say you are really comfortable reading grade 2 Braille, but you're still kind of a little shaky when it comes to typing in grade 2 Braille, you can actually set it so you can type in grade 1 Braille, but read in grade 2 Braille. I think that's pretty cool.
That is awesome. I mean, I think for me, that's kind of where I'm at. I'm like, I'm not quite all that comfortable typing in grade 2 yet. And I'm still on the maturing of the Braille world. And right. So that would be huge.
Yeah, because you lost your sight later in life and kind of, you know, started learning Braille later on, too. So, yeah, it's been a lot more of a learning curve. A turtle. Yeah,
you're just a turtle. I just slowly move my hand along. I will eventually get there.
At least you don't do what I did and try and read with one finger on my right hand while, like, poking my eyes with the left. Oof. Ooh, those were the days. Now, another thing that they've added is the ability to reconnect your Braille display if it's suddenly been disconnected or if you've had to reboot it. And they've actually made it just a lot more intuitive. You can actually set a reconnect Braille display gesture with VoiceOver. So it will basically just, using Bluetooth, it'll kind of look around for any available Braille displays and connect them automatically. And it does a cool little haptic while it's doing it. Or you can also reboot VoiceOver, and once VoiceOver started back up, it will automatically reconnect to Braille displays. And I like this because the way you used to have to do this before, at least the way I've had to do it, is by going into your settings and then going to Bluetooth settings. And then I don't know if this was a bug or an intended feature, but Bluetooth would always try to connect to a Braille display, to your primary Braille display, when you'd go into Bluetooth settings.
And so let me just kind of get a quick understanding, because it sounds like, so you go on the Braille displays in VoiceOver, right? Mm-hmm. And then you can connect it via Bluetooth there, correct?
You can. You can't really connect a Braille display through the Bluetooth settings. You got to do it through VoiceOver settings.
Yeah. So it's like the hearing aids.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I think that's really, in some ways, that's good because it makes it default Bluetooth looking, and it's already designated to that level of Bluetooth that it needs.
Exactly.
Because one thing, let's a quick pause here. Let's talk about Bluetooth technology real fast. So a lot of your headsets that you get and a lot of the things that you get from Bluetooth related, if it's not Bluetooth of 5.2 or higher, it's gonna have a slower connection. It's gonna have a little bit more weaker connection. But the thing is, the iPhones and Apple itself has its own Bluetooth
protocol, really, is what it is.
Protocol. And by setting it up this way, it makes your Braille display hearing aids. Like my hearing aids connect real, I don't have to worry so much about losing my connection with my hearing aids on my iPhone like I do with like my headsets or my keyboards or anything, because it already has its pre-programmed protocol. So
yeah, it's really already cool. Set up as a Braille display. So you turn your Braille display on, put it in terminal mode or whatever it might be, and then it just connects straight away. And no more trying to go into settings and looking for Bluetooth, trying to connect a Bluetooth device and being interrupted by a pop-up saying that a Braille display that you're not even trying to connect to is not in range, even though I wasn't even trying to connect to it anyway. So I'm super glad I won't have to be dealing with that anymore. Alrighty, and we're going to have to kind of cut this episode short here, as we've been going on a lot longer than we expected here, but we've highlighted all of the VoiceOver and Braille screen improvements, but there's a lot more to talk about. So stay tuned for part 2 that'll come out next week, where we're going to talk about all of the kind of miscellaneous little features and changes that have been brought to iOS 18 and watchOS 11. So that means that it is actually time for
the sandwich of the week.
I'll go first this time, as I tend to throw you in the hot seat, Kelvin, quite a bit.
It gets pretty hot there, man. It gets really hot sometimes.
You get a sunburn from it?
Maybe. I don't know. I don't go running around naked. That's not my thing.
That's good. Oh my goodness. Yeah, that's good. We don't want you to get in trouble. But my sandwich of the week this week is actually an Italian meatball sub.
That's pretty good.
Soaked in marinara cheese, soaked in marijuana.
Woo! We're off the rocker. We got in that marinara sauce there, huh?
What is wrong with me today? Holy crap. We're going to have outtakes. Dude, we're going to have outtakes up the wazoo
You should put a blooper at the end of this one.
I think I might maybe, or just make like an outtake reel. Stoked in marinara sauce and with mozzarella cheese, all the good delicious stuff on that meatball sub. But yeah, my sandwich of the week is a meatball sub from, well, Subway. But what is your sandwich of the week?
So my sandwich of the week is from Chick-fil-A, and it is a biscuit with a chicken and egg and cheese with some honey.
Oh, I didn't know Chick-fil-A.
And honey. You add honey. And it's gonna make you just happy. Dang, happy, I'll be singing happy, happy. And so that's my sandwich of the week. So
a biscuit with chicken, egg, cheese, and honey.
Yep.
I love honey on biscuits anyway. That sounds really breakfasty too. It's been a while since we've had something breakfasty on here. So exactly. That's awesome. Absolutely. Well, like I said, stay tuned for part two, where we finish up the iOS release notes deep dive, as I like to call it. So with that being said, if you've got any questions or feedback for Aftersight or any of our podcast hosts, you know what to do. feedback@aftersight.org, or of course call 720-712-8856. With that being said, I've been your host, Evan Starnes. This is my co-host, Kelvin Crosby.
Go live beyond your challenges and plug in your devices.